This is Yitznove. We're studying Masechet Bava Basra. We're learning Paragraph Mishnah Hay. The first four Mishnayos of the Masechta, we dealt with mutual responsibility of neighbors, dissolving a partnership, and the responsibilities they have when there are homes that have adjoining common courtyards, and fields or other places where they have to split, what their responsibilities are to each other. This Mishnah is going to continue to deal with the responsibility of these types of residents. Kotnoso, the fourth homeowner, Lidnos Beit Shavadelas Lachatzer, to build a gatehouse and a door for their courtyard. We force him because, we'll elaborate shortly. But the Beit Shar, that's a gatehouse. Way back when, courtyards had a gatehouse for a guard to sit and sit in the actual house. Call it house. It's really more a vestibule for shade to watch over the yard. And the door was there was a door at the entrance of the courtyard so that the courtyard could be locked when necessary. Again, in the times of the Mishnah, the courtyard was a place where people would conduct many of their businesses, or many of their business dealings, and many other activities, and therefore there was a value of having privacy, as we discussed in the first Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Lo Kol Chatzeros Rios Leveishar. Not all courtyards require or are fit for having a gatehouse or a place for the guard to sit. The only reason why a reason would have to do that is in a case where there is Rosh Ravim, where there are a lot of people who look over near and adjacent to the courtyard. Therefore, there's a security threat and there is a value to the residents in having this guardhouse. Once there's an established value, if there's an established need, then the costs have to be shared equally amongst all of those who benefit from it. Mishnah continues, Kofin Oso Livnos L'ir Choma. We can force somebody to build, to chip in for their city a wall, Ujlasayim, or doors, Uvriach, and a crossbar. People who live in a town can force the others to share in the expense of putting up these walls or doors or a crossbar, which all serve as protective devices. Again, the common thing here is when they benefit from these objectively important facilities, they all have to split it. Rishim ben Gamliel teaches us, Lo kol ha'arayos, ayaros, ruyos l'choma. Not all cities are required and need to have these walls. If there is no objective rishus haram, if there aren't a lot of people around them, then there's no reason necessarily, there isn't as pressing of a need, and if there isn't as pressing of a need, then the value isn't necessarily there, and if the value is not there, you don't have to force everybody to put the wall up. Continuing in the Mishnah, how long does somebody need to live in a city or a town to be considered like a person, like a citizen of the city? Obviously, in terms of context, it means that they would have to shoulder the burden and pay for the public works. 12 chodesh. You have to be there for 12 months, for 1 year. However, the Mishnah does tell us, kanabes babes dir, if a person buys a house, then he doesn't have to wait the 12 years, or the 12 months. Once a person has a house there, then he's immediately benefits from the safety that the public works, as mentioned in the Mishnah, the wall, the doors, and whatnot provide. Therefore, once he's benefiting, he has a responsibility. He has to pay his share of the portion of it. And if he didn't own a house, if once he's living there for 12 months, that 12 months establishes a chazaka that he's living there and he's a part of that city, and that for that becomes there, therefore he'd have to pay their share. Chosen intent, 12 months or a house, the Mishnah teacher is teaching us chosen intent to stay and live in that city. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav. In Chokin as a Chatzer, Achiyehei, Amos, Lezeh, V'arba Amos, Lezeh. We do not split a courtyard unless each one will have four Amos in each one of them. This is in sync with the Mishnah that we had in the beginning of the Perek. And that's with regards to courtyard, as you mentioned. We're going to give different sizes for different types of property. Below us, a sada on shehe batisha kavin lezeh, batisha kavin lezeh. They're allowed to split a field as long as there are 9 kavim for each of the different sides. Again, similar laws to the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, as we discussed. You cannot compel somebody else to split a grain field unless there is a minimum size of a plot of land for them to plant 9 cows of seed in it. Anything smaller isn't worth the effort of plowing, and therefore you can't just do splitting there. Rabbi Huda says, Achi b'tishas chatzai kavin lezeh, b'tishas chatzai kavin lezeh. Rabbi Yehuda argues on the Tanakhama and says, no, the size is actually 9.5 kav for each one. Not 9 kavim for each one. Be able to plant 9.5 kavs for each one. For a total of 9, but divided amongst the two. So 4.5 kav of seed has to be planted in each one. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the size where it justifies. Many people point out that they're not arguing with each other. Rabbi Huda is talking about how big his town, his minhag medina, his custom, his local custom, is that for 9.5 kavs, for 4.5 kavs, would justify a person doing work and plowing their field. And the Tanakhama, his town, it was only 9 kavs. So the size here, while it's a size that's in the Mishnah, it's not necessarily completely objective from that perspective. It has to do with the perceived value and the need where the people in the locale have perceived value. Specifically, the case here of Rabbi Huda and the Tanakhama, Rabbi Huda lived in Babel and in Babylon, and because the land was less fertile, the sizes were different accordingly. Continuing in the Mishnah, the lowest agina achi bachatzi kavlazeh v'chatzi kavlazeh. Where you continue in the Mishnah, the size for garden is a half kav for each one. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Beis Rova, this is a quarter kav. So again, there's a machlokas here between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakhama on the size for a garden. Again, there are some people that are saying that they're not really arguing. It's more they're discussing. They're practically living in different places, and Rabbi Akiva is lives in a place where the land is more fertile, and hence the size accordingly. Velosa Traklin, Mishnah continues, we don't split a Traklin, which is a salon. The minimum area there is 10 by 10, 10 amos by 10 amos. Velosa Moran, not a hall. It's another structure that was part of some towns in the time of Mishnah. Below us a shobach, and not a dovecote, below us a talis, we can't split a talis. Below us a merchatz, you can't split a bathhouse. Below us a basepot, we can't split an olive press. Hachi v'hen kedei lezeh v'kedei lezeh, until they have both enough in each of their possessions, that they would each be able to have the item and retain the identity of the item. This has pretty much been an underlying theme, that the minimum size of the field, the minimum size of the gardens, the minimum size of all the different properties that we've mentioned just now in this long list, you could split it as long as when you split it, each one actually has the item. Granted, it'll be smaller, but they'll still have the item, and that's what the Mishnah tells us. This is a haklal. This is a generalization, a general rule. Kol she'chalek u'shmo alav chokin. As long as they split something and the item still has retains the name, although the size is different, they're allowed to split it. And if not, if the name changes or the talus is too small for a talus, or the bathhouse can't be a bathhouse, or the fields are too small, they can't plant the minimum size necessary for it to grow for a while, and therefore you don't have the item, you don't have the same property, then you can't divide it. Amosai. All of this is when one wants to, as much ancient hand words, when one wants to compel the other. However, if they both have consent, you can split anything, even if it's going to change the name. The one example that, the one case where this is not true, is that if one wants to split Holy Scrolls, you're not allowed to split Holy Scrolls, even if everybody would, for whatever reason, want to. And that's the end of the first paragraph.